and they get back to the States. But any time that we are able to have them with us, we just really cherish. And so we're really thankful for this opportunity as they come to the end of their time here to just share with us about what's been going on there in Okinawa, as well as to open up God's word for us. So, Dan, if you'll come and just talk to us about what God's doing there in Japan.
It's good to be with you this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to give you an update on things that are going on. Just recently, the church had a special kids meeting, and they had over 40 that attended, and a lot of parents also attended that meeting, so we're thankful for that. There was decisions made during that time. Then they also had a special service on Sunday where a special pastor came in and preached and had three new visitors, so we're thankful for visitors to keep coming to the work, and we appreciate your prayers and support. If you don't have a prayer card, there's some in the back there in the foyer area where the prayer cards are, and you can pray for us in the ministry there in Japan. We're heading back this month, the 17th of this month, so pray for us as we get ready to head on out. This month is kind of a busy time, but we're thankful. We've been in 36 churches in 24 weeks, and I've traveled from, Terry and I have traveled from as far west as Colorado and churches there, then as far east as Connecticut, as far south as probably Atlanta or in that area, and then down to Kansas, been all over the place. So a lot of traveling. I'm thankful that Charlotte's a flight attendant, that I could hop on flights and go, cheaply to different places. So that helped me, so I didn't have to drive so much. I know we put thousands of miles on our car also, but I'm thankful that we were able to do that. And this month is going to be a tough month, I guess. Terry and I's 50th anniversary is this month, so we'll be able to share that, but we won't be here. We'll be back in Japan at that point. And a week from yesterday, I'll be turning 70. That's a big milestone, I guess. I'm thankful that the Lord's allowed us to be able to work in Japan for 42 years. We're going to show you a little clip of the ministry, just about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes long, but give you a little idea what's going on there in Okinawa. And Okinawa is part of Japan. A lot of people say, well, you're down in Okinawa. That's not Japan. It is Japan. It's. I'll give you a little geography lesson right here. In Japan has 48 prefectures, kind of like America has 50 states. Japan has 48 prefectures, and they're divided into groups. So we're the most southern prefecture in Okinawa. It's called Okinawa Prefecture. It used to be called Ryukyu Prefecture, but they changed it to Okinawa Prefecture, and we're the most southern there. We're 1,000 miles south of Tokyo. You'll get that on the DVD there a little bit. And, pray for us. There's a lot of people that need to hear the gospel. 127 million people in Japan, about 0.5% only know about Christ. And recently I read an article that said that Japan is one of the unreached people groups of the world. That's hard to understand, but because of the small percentage of Christians in that country, actually per capita there's more Christians in North Korea than there is in Japan. And people don't understand that, but the Japanese are not open to the gospel, but we're thankful that we can witness there and keep on going, keep on reaching people. But there's just a great need in that country, and pray that their hearts would open to the gospel message, and that's why we're going. We're going back because of that reason. So I'll pray the Lord just give us opportunities. Great opportunities to be able to see people reached, and we're thankful that we can be here with you this morning. So I'll let Grant show you that. Hopefully everything will work all right. But we did try to set it up earlier, but I've been in churches where we set it up earlier and still didn't work. So hopefully it'll work.
Harry and I have been missionaries in Japan since January 1977. God called us to be missionaries while still in Bible college. We have been privileged to serve in Japan for 42 years and are thankful for what God has done. Not knowing the Japanese language, culture, traditions, or anything about Japan, we came as new recruits. With the excitement to reach a nation that basically does not know anything about Christ, we were anxious to get started in the ministry. Japan has a population of 127 million people, and only one half of 1% of them know Christ as their Savior. Because of traditions, customs, religious activities in Japan, the Japanese people have little to do with Christianity. Most of the Japanese people are Buddhists or Shintoists. We came to Japan with three small children and immediately began to study the language. I traveled into Tokyo to go to language school every day of the week. We first worked in Tokyo area of Japan and were able to work with another missionary to start the Faith Baptist Church of Sagamihara City. In 1981, God called us to go to Okinawa, where we felt God wanted us to start the Grace Baptist Church. Okinawa is 1,000 miles south of Tokyo and is a subtropical island. The island is only 65 miles long and 12 miles wide, but has a population of 1,400,000 people and is continuing to grow. We started our church in Ginowan City, and God blessed immediately, with several being saved and baptized. And we were able to purchase our own building where God moved in a great way. As the church grew, we needed a Japanese pastor. God allowed us to call Pastor Regino to take over the ministry of the church. After he became pastor, we moved to another area in Okinawa, which is called Okinawa City, and started the Faith Baptist Church. There are many things that we do to get the gospel out. We have weekly visitation programs set up to pass out tracts door to door and try to get everyone involved in the ministry. We pass out tracts in front of local schools and try to encourage the kids to come to Sunday school and special meetings that we have every quarter for them. Our special quarterly meetings for children are like a festival where we have games, a Bible story, handcraft, and lunch. Many boys and girls attend this special event, and even some of the parents come to listen to the stories and see what we are doing. Many children are saved at this time, and we are thankful for this ministry. We also have special meetings at Christmas and Easter. Then we have fall and spring revival meetings. We have ladies' meetings and teen activities, which are all used to bring people to Christ. We have also had various mission outreach stations in Okinawa. We had a mission work in Ishikawa City, also the town of Hentona, which is on the northern part of the island, and Shuri, which is close to Naha. The fruit over the years has been much. We have been blessed to see God's hand at work in those who have been saved and are following the Lord faithfully. The Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we are trying to do that in Japan as we continue to serve Him. Thank you for partnering with us through your faithful support and prayers.
So I'll give you a little idea what things are like there in Japan. I should start out by saying, Minasan ohayou gozaimasu. Yoku irasshai mashita. Minasan to issho ni reihai ga dekiru kara kokoro kara kansha shimasu. I got two interpreters over here, so I... So if you need to know what I said, no, I'll just welcome you to the church service. I'm glad we can worship with you together. We appreciate the support of the church, and we're thankful for the Lord allowing us and enabling us to be in Japan for as many years as we have, and we're just trusting God for the future. We don't know what. We're turning our church over to a Japanese pastor who is Yoshida, and well, some of you might have read that in our letters or whatever. Pastor Brower, he can pronounce that pretty good. Yoshida, so I'm glad he must read my letters, at least. Sometimes I go to a church and the pastor doesn't even know. He's like, so where are you at now? And I'm like, well, I'm in Japan. You know, how long did it take you to learn Chinese? I don't speak Chinese. So you wonder if they're ever reading your letters, you know. But anyway, I'm thankful for that. His name is Yoshida anyway, and I know that Ron, where is he at? He was telling me this morning he knows some Japanese, and he said, he's sitting over there, hey, he knows Honda, Suzuki, Yamaha, Kawasaki. And I said, yeah, well, this guy's name is Yoshida, so it's not that, it's not Honda, Suzuki, Yamaha, but you can probably remember his name. Please do pray for him. We're going to turn the church over to him in 2021, so pray that everything goes smoothly there. And after that point, I don't know what I'm going to do. Terry, she might do something different than me, but we're
We're planning on doing it together. But so she'll be, we'll be working there and trying to help other missionaries and other small Japanese works to just keep on going. It's a big struggle. We've had a lot of this year, and I can't remember if I repeat myself from the time I was here before. But it was the last year that I spoke, so I think, wasn't it? Well, maybe it was the first of the year. I can't remember. But anyway, if I repeat myself, just forgive me. You probably won't remember it anyways, right? But anyway, we've had a lot of 50th anniversaries in Japan with the pastors and churches. Some of our mission went to Japan in 1965, so they started some works right away, probably in 67. Where some of the first work started. And so we've had a lot of 50th anniversaries on with the churches, with BIMI there in the last couple of years. And it's been exciting because some of these churches are pastored by pastors that have been pastoring in the same church for 50 years. That's hard to imagine. Sticking it out in a small little church for 50 years. And maybe some of them had to work jobs too. So they've just, you got to take your hat off to them. That's encouraging to me to see these guys just keep on going. You know, it's a totally different place to work, but they love the Lord and they want to serve God, and they do. And I'm thankful for them. And so pray for these ministries and these works and the people there. I want to take your Bible and turn to Numbers this morning. Numbers, and I'd like to speak about faith that overcomes. I've had a lot of that in my life. So I think I'm kind of qualified to speak on faith. And so I want to just kind of challenge you about faith. Faith is sometimes hard to deal with. We don't deal with it well. And we need to have faith. Our faith needs to grow all the time. Just like Pastor's talking about, meeting the budget. That's faith, taking faith to reach your budget, to be able to get the money needed to do different things in the ministry. But Numbers chapter 13 and verses from verse 26 down to 26 to 33. And I'm going to read that. It says, And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But when the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which ye have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Let me read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 14, 2. It says, All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Sad sometimes when we look at a story like this, and you think about 12 spies going into the land. 10 of them had a bad report, 2 of them had a good. Unfortunately, the 10 persuaded the rest of the congregation to go against God, and they didn't have faith. So they're the ones that drug people down, just like Peter when, after Jesus had risen from the grave and talked with them and met with them a couple of different times. And then Peter said, I go fishing. And then his friends went with him. So he drug them downhill. And same here, what we see here with the children of Israel, a lot of different things that went on. God delivered them from Egypt. He helped them through different parts of the wilderness. He just helped them survive with water and miracles of food, and just kept doing things for them, but they still didn't believe. And, sometimes we don't have the faith. Faith is kind of a funny thing, isn't it? We want to believe it. We want to have it. But we don't want to trust in the person who gives us that faith, and that's God. We need to trust in God for faith, and we need to go by a faith to live for Him. Let's walk a word of prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you just challenge us through your word that we might be what you want us to be in faith. Help us, our faith, to grow. It should have grown over the years. And Lord, I pray that you'd help it to continue to grow. We need to have a strong faith. We need to have a real faith. We need to have faith that believes that God can do miracles in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you just challenge us today through your word that we might be what you want us to be, that we might have strong faith. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done and will do. I pray that you'd speak through me, fill me with your power, help me to say what you have me to say this morning. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. One of the ministries that was showing up on the screen up there was a place in a town called Hentona. And we were going to buy a piece of property up there and have a church ministry going on there. But, you know, things didn't work out. But there was a lady that came and started coming to our church. And I met her several years ago on Okinawa. I met her when she was real, really, really young, actually. We first went to Okinawa in 81. And there was another missionary that worked up in that area of Hentona. And he led this girl, this lady, to the Lord. And she then lived up there. That was her home in this small little village up there. And so we'd go up there every once in a while. But this other missionary was there for a while, but then he left. He struggled, and there was no ministry going. And so he left the island. But before he left, he had actually asked another a missionary or another guy to come and help him in the ministry. And so this other guy from America came in. And then he married this Japanese lady, and they then had a child. The child was born was handicapped, and so she couldn't walk well, and you know, her learning, she had learning disabilities and different things. And then eventually this American guy, so great guy, he finally left her and ran off with somebody. He's supposed to be a Christian and supposed to be a full-time Christian worker and all that, and he left her and ran off. Well, it's after this point, then basically, she had no place for ministry to go to church or anything. So she started coming down to our church because we knew her. And so she started traveling. It was about an hour and a half drive. If you drive to her little village, it's about an hour and a half north of where we live in Okinawa. So she lives up on the northern part of the island, almost totally the end of the island. And then she'd drive to our place. She had a handicapped daughter. She'd get dressed and get ready and get her in the car, drive an hour and a half to church. You know, most of us complain because we've got to drive 15 minutes or 30, you know. She drove an hour and a half, had a handicapped daughter. She was also on kidney dialysis three times a week. So she had to go to kidney dialysis every other day, and that wasn't in her town either. So she had to drive 40 minutes to the closest hospital or the big hospital that did kidney dialysis, and also she worked a full-time job. So she would come, and she was always so excited about being at church. Oh, so excited. She was so excited about being because she wanted to see her family saved. She was really interested always, and she had the faith to really believe that her family could get saved. And so she had aunts and uncles, and she has brothers and sisters that she's witnessed to many times. Her mom and dad were not Christians, and so we decided we'd have a ministry up there in Hentonas. We started a ministry up there. And started preaching. We'd go up there on Saturdays, and we'd have a full service where we were preaching and everything. And then at that time, she'd get people to come. And people would come and get saved. She'd try to get her family there, and some of them would get saved. Well, she was praying for her mom and dad. And finally, her mom got saved, and they're in the church. So she'd come all the time. And then her dad was coming. Well, her dad was kind of an unusual person in that fact that her dad was old enough to be in World War II. So he was an older gentleman. And at the time we started going up there, and he had volunteered to be a soldier in the Japanese Army to fight against America. That was his goal. But one of the things he had going against him was, you know, and you have deferments here in America why you can't fight or be, you know, called up in the armed forces. He was too short. Can you believe that? A Japanese guy is too short. But he was too short, so they wouldn't allow him to get into the military. So they sent him up to work in a big city up in mainland Japan on some of the different things that they were making for the war. He was in a big factory that was producing things for the war at that time. And I'm going to tell you the name of the city, and you all know the name of the city. It was Hiroshima. He got sent to Hiroshima, working in a factory on the outside of town. And he was working there when they dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. And so he was, and the people he worked with, they knew something terrible had happened. They didn't know what it was. But the next day they went into town, into the epic center of what happened there at Hiroshima. And they, of course, most of them were exposed to radiation at that time. And most of his friends then eventually, over the years, of course, got sick and died. He did not. He was able to come back to Okinawa. And maybe bitter because of the war or whatever. He drank all the time. He was a bitter man. Everybody in town knew him. They hated him because he was so against everybody and hated everybody. He had such a bad attitude. They didn't like him. But this daughter of his who became a Christian because of her faith, got her dad there to the services. One day, when we were preaching and gave the invitation, he got saved. So one of these days, you're going to see, his name is Chibana, Mr. Chibana. You're going to see him in heaven. And you're going to see his wife. And you're going to see Dioko, this girl that was saved and had such a concern for her parents and her family and everybody else. That's the result of faith, I think. Result of people that have faith, that want to see their faith work. We have real faith. We have faith to see what God can do for you in your life. You know, we need to trust God. We need to believe in what God has for us. James said, I will show thee my faith by my works. So there's some kind of works and faith involved in the same thing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says what? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. And we have to look out. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what was going to happen when we first went into Japan. But, you know, we stepped out by faith and went to Japan as missionaries and been trying to work there ever since. And whatever God has for us, that's what we've been doing. So we look up by faith, walk by faith, live by faith. You trust God by faith. You're trusting by faith that you're going to get to heaven one of these days because you believed in Jesus as your Savior, right? I hope you do. And you believe and you know that you're going to heaven and God's going to take care of you. Also, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Who's that? Please God. We can't please God without faith. If you have no faith, you can't please God. You need to have some faith of some kind. And we need to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ with faith. For he that cometh to Him is rewarder. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That He is. I got thinking about that a lot lately. That, you know, God really is, right? And we believe that, don't we? I hope we do. That's why we're here today. We believe that God really is. And that God is really there. And God really has power to help us. And I've thought about, you know, if the God has the power to create the universe, create the world, create humans, all the things in the world, surely He has the power to help us have the faith to step out and do something for Him. You know that? We should have that kind of faith. We should say, if God has that much power, then He can take us, a little human being, and He can give us the power that God has given, has there for us to get out in this world and be a testimony and a witness and to walk by faith and live by faith and trust God by faith. I hope so. We should be able to do that. In 1977, January 6th, I guess maybe it was January 5th, because we arrived in Japan on January 6th, I think. A long time ago. I can't hardly remember the exact dates, but it was around the 5th, 6th, or 7th. And we went down to the Minneapolis airport. And we were looking to go to Japan. We didn't have much. We had not a whole lot of things going for us. 13 suitcases and, a couple of crying kids. Charlotte was 6. Danny was 2.5, and Tim was 5 weeks old. We went down to the Minneapolis airport, and it was 50 below wind chill here. It was a cold, cold winter. And We got to the airport, and we checked into the counter, and we said, we're flying from here to California on this airline. They said, I'm sorry, but that airline went bankrupt. We're like, we're at the airport. They said, if you want to get to California, you're going to have to buy another ticket. Well, we didn't have much money. We had saved, you know, to when we got to Japan, to use that money to try to get established in Japan a little bit, buy some stuff. And so we pooled all our money together. I'm sure my parents and Terry's parents had given us gave us some money, and we got everything that we could together. We bought new tickets to fly from California, from Minneapolis to California. And when we got to California, we're on standby. So this whole ordeal was basically just trusting God to get us there. We knew that God wanted us there. We could have said, forget it, let's go back home. Of course, it was so cold, I didn't want to go back home. But I was like, let me get out of here, some way or another. So we flew to California, and we were on standby because they put us on another airline that was accepting people that had lost their seats or the tickets from this bankrupt company. And so we were on standby on this plane. And we were like the last ones to get on. We were just, it was just a time when, we were just trusting God to get us there. We were so, I guess it's faith or foolishness, and we were pretty foolish, but we didn't have anything going for us, so we might as well go, right? So we waited, and we were the last ones. The plane was already loaded. Everybody was on the plane. They said, we got seats for you. I think we needed four seats because Tim was in a little carrier, and we could put him any place in the plane. They didn't care at that time. Now you got to have a special spot, but we could carry him and leave him in the aisle or under the seat or whatever, That's where people put their dogs now, under the seat. But you try not to do that with your kids anymore. So they got us four seats, got on the plane. We had to fly from California to Hawaii. Now you can imagine, it was 50 below, right? We got all our winter clothes on, everything that we had to keep warm. As we're going south or west, we're losing clothes. We're taking stuff off because we flew from here to California, California to Hawaii, if you can imagine. And so we got all these heavy clothes, same thing, standby, trusting God to get us there by faith, believing that God is going to get us to the place that he wants us to be at that time. And then Hawaii, the same thing. We had a waiting line. We're waiting in a big, long line. And the plane was supposed to be taken off, and all of a sudden, they said, gardeners, and we're looking, I guess that's us. They said, you need to run down the corridor because the plane's leaving. They're locking the door. I said, okay. So we're chucking down the aisle. We got all our clothes and that we're carry-on stuff, and now we're carrying our coats and scarves and hats and everything, sweaters or whatever. And Danny's halfway there. He looks up, and he stops. He says, Dad? He's 2.5. I can't go anymore. I said, you got to go. We're not going to make the plane if you don't go. So we coaxed him on, got him to the plane. We finally made it to Japan. But faith, sometimes faith takes a turn that you don't understand. And you can't figure it out. Why did God put you through that? I don't know why God put us through that. But I know that God did. And he helps us because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what he says. He is the one that's there. He is there. And we need to realize that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We think about the different things that go on. There's action involved. There's 12 spies. Joshua and Caleb are the only two that really want to, trust, step out by faith, saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go. In order to have our faith grow, we need to do some things. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb. Pure faith has to do with some things in our life. It's not a doubting faith. It's a faith that believes that God can do something. It's a faith that shows some action, that you really believe that God is going to do things in your life, and you're trusting God for those things. And we come up against a lot of enemies. That's what happened here. I'm sure you have enemies in your life. And if you don't, then you're probably not alive. You gotta have enemies. Everybody has some kind of thing going on. And whether it's sickness or, whatever, financial or people or different things in your life, there's some enemies, there's some roadblocks, there's people up there, there's some giants, there's people that are trying to take you down. But the Bible tells us here that they came back and Joshua and Caleb wanted to go on. And so we see a few things here that we can trust God for. Number one, real faith shows us God's blessing. shows us God's blessing. It said in verse 26 and 7, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and to all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Faith shows us God's blessings. They saw God's blessings, and we see God's blessings in the Bible. One of the advantages we have over them is that we have the Bible, the whole Bible. I mean, Genesis to Revelation, or in Japanese, it's Revelation, Genesis, if you're looking at it backwards. But, we have the whole Bible, right? I remember reading about old black preacher. He says, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. He said, I believe from Genesis to Revelation. He said, I even believe the cover because it says Holy Bible. We need to believe the Bible, right? It's God's word from the cover to cover. And we have we can see the blessings of God. Just sometimes we don't step out and get them. We don't step out because, we're afraid, or we don't want to step out and do something. You know, the Bible says here that they saw the fruit of the land. They could see all the blessings that God had. They could see the property. They could see the fruit. They could see all the things that were there that God was going to give them a place to inhabit. You know, faith ignores the impossible, right? It should. It ignores the impossible, and faith should help us. It ignores the physical impossibilities. It ignores the spiritual impossibilities, and it ignores the emotional impossibilities. We need to just trust God that God's going to help us. By real faith, we can see God's blessings. We can see what's happening on the other side. We can look and we can say, God is going to take care of us. He's going to supply our needs. He's going to do things for us. When we went to Japan, we had no idea what we were getting into, but we knew that God was in it and that He wanted us there, and the blessings were there. If we just stayed true to God, we first were there, and after we'd been there not too long, the dollar started devaluing really fast. We first went, it was 2.93 to the dollar, and it started dropping really fast. Within the first 2 years, it dropped down to 176, 175. Over the years, it dropped down at one time to 75. At those times, it was hard to pay the bills because we lost so much buying power. That means that I lost 120 yen per dollar in buying power. And that means almost that everything that I was buying took twice as many dollars to get as it cost me before. So it's hard to imagine. Now it cost me three times as much dollars to buy what I used to buy in Japan when I first went there. Three times as many. So, we had to trust God. And missionaries were going home. I mean, when it got down to 175, missionaries were just packing up and leaving. And I knew a lot of them. And I said, "What are you going? Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going back to America." I said, "Why?" "Well, we don't have enough money to live." I said, "I don't have enough money to live either. But didn't God call you here? Didn't God send you here?" And they'd say, "Yes." I said, "Then if God sent you here, you should stay, because you need to trust God by faith that He's going to supply your needs. And this is a test. This is a time when you are tested, but we can see the blessings of God. We can see what God can do, but we need to just get out there." God shows us different things. He showed them the fruit that was produced in the wilderness. They were out in to them it was the wilderness, and they traveled and they went to Kadesh, and all that was going on there, all the things that were there, what a great thing it was. You know, the Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22 about the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. What's the other one? Faith. That's one of them, right? So one of the fruits of the Spirit of every Christian should be faith. We need to have that faith to step out and do something for God. We need to have that faith to say, "Lord, okay, I'm going to do something for You. I'm going to be obedient to You. I'm going to give my life to You. I'm going to go the way You want me to go." Faith is going to lead you where God can help you and take care of your needs and supply your needs. He will. And we're a testimony to that. I tell you, when we first started on deputation, we had nothing, literally nothing. We moved out of our place. I didn't have a job. I quit my job. I just graduated from a Bible college. I quit my job. I started full-time deputation, calling pastors on the phone. Most of the time, you had to get a phone card or go to a phone booth and try to call pastors. That's tough. Now we got cell phones. I can get it. Get anybody anytime, anywhere, almost anywhere. Sometimes I'm in a dead zone, but You know, sometimes, most of the time you get everybody and do, you know, contact me. But back then, we didn't have a job, we didn't have anything. So we were traveling from church to church, just expecting that God was going to take care of us. Many times we had not even enough money, just barely to get to the church that we're going to. And back in those days, guess what they did? They gave me a check. Okay, you give me a check on Sunday night. What am I going to do with a check? My bank is some, you know, in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I'm in, you know, Michigan. How am I going to spend a check? Nobody will cash a check. And so we traveled around. I remember one church we went to, and that night we got there and had a meeting. We had been in another meeting in the morning. They gave me a check. Went to another church in the evening for a love offering. And I preached there, and the pastor gave me a check. And we had no money. We had no gas. We had no food. And we're sitting in the parking lot. We're just sitting there. We're like, what are we going to do? We had no money. We prayed and asked God to just take care of us. That was all we could do, is pray. God, you know, somehow or another, you're going to have to get us out of here. And about 20 minutes later, a man that was at the service that night, had already probably gotten home, came back to the church. And saw us sitting in the parking lot, came up to the door, knocked on the door. I got out. He said, God spoke to my heart to come back here and give you some money. He gave us that money that day, that night. Got to put gas in our car and got some food that we could eat and get us to the next meeting. That's the way it was. It was by faith. You know, you have to trust God sometimes, even though you don't understand things that go on in your life. But faith shows us the blessings of God. Real faith shows us the blessings that God can give us, and we need to trust God by faith. You know, faith doesn't always have immediate results. And except for salvation, right? That's immediate. It doesn't take a year to be saved. It doesn't take a month. It doesn't take a week. It doesn't take 24 hours. It doesn't take all that kind of stuff. Some of the water left over from the baptismal. Thanks, Micah. I appreciate it. Since I've been in America, my voice is really dry. Yeah, compared to Okinawa, you know, you guys think 60% humidity is high. You know, we deal with 90% and 95%, you know. And so, you know, it just drips off you. In fact, I'd probably be dripping already. When I'm preaching in Japan, I'd be just soaked, because it's just so humid. Even though I got air running, still, it doesn't take it all out. But, you know, we need to live by faith, right? Faith gives us immediate results with salvation. And that's the thing. But sometimes we don't see immediate things happen with faith, except for salvation. And we can trust God for that. You know, God promises eternal life, and it promises us right now if we believe on Him. If you're not saved, today you're here in this auditorium, you say, I don't know what salvation is all about. I don't know what it is to accept Christ. Then you need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. You need to ask Him to save you. You need to, you know, bow your head and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. That's what it's all about. And that's immediate. It doesn't take all kinds of years. It doesn't take all kinds of time, all kinds of minutes, but it just is immediate, and we're thankful for that through faith. God has promised us, no matter who you are, you can have it. You can trust in God for it, and you can believe in God for it. The second thing, and I should have already told you this point. I didn't tell Grant. Real faith gives us hope. Gives us hope. And that's what I'm talking about right now. Real faith gives us hope. Hope that one day we're going to be in heaven, right? Hope that one day that God's going to just lead us as we go along our journey. And He was there with these men. And in verse 30, it says here in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let's go up. That was hope, right? We are well able to overcome it. Two of them were saying, we're well able to overcome it. 10 of them were saying, no, we can't do it. They're too big. They're too strong. We look like grasshoppers. They even said here in one of these verses, in verse 33, he said, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. They were looking at their own selves as grasshoppers. They shouldn't have been doing that, right? They were already degrading themselves, and they were looking at themselves like, we don't have it. We don't have it. You know, we're just a bunch of poor little people that Israelites had wandered out of Egypt, and now we're coming to a place that God's promised us. We can't do it. We're just little grasshoppers, you know. No, that wasn't it. God had already showed his hand and his power to them, and they could have believed in it because they could have trusted him. God gave them hope that he said, this is the land. Just go in and possess it. Just go in and possess it. Maybe there's some thing in your life where God's dealing with you and you're saying, I need to just step out there and say, God's going to give me that, and I want to go in and possess it. And that's what we can do, right? We can go in and possess the land. We can go in and take it over. Maybe there's things in your life that are giants. Maybe it's giving or tithing or something like that. You don't believe in tithing, whatever. You need to, because the Bible tells us we should tithe. You need to give to God. You need to give offerings and sacrificial gifts, and you need to just give your time to God. We need to give to God, right? We need to say, Lord, I believe I'm trusting you, and I'm going to live like I'm trusting you day in and day out, and you're going to take care of all the needs that I have, and I'm going to step up by faith because I have hope. I have hope. If we have hope, you know, God promises us hope, and we can enjoy life in Christ now because we are living a living proof that God can take care of us. God has gotten you from point A to point B. He's gotten you from birth to this point right now. I mean, I'm sure my mom probably thought I wouldn't be alive right now the way I did things when I was a kid. You know, I mean, I had so many things, you know, accidents and just doing different things. I'm sure she thought, I'll never make it till I was 70 years old. But she's wrong. She's wrong. She's been wrong before, but not too often. But, you know, you just wonder. But there is hope, right? There's hope for each and every one of us. Hope that we can make it. Hope that God has given us that hope. The third thing is faith. Real faith can only come from God. Real faith can only come from God. It says in chapter 14, verse 8 and 9. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And so he promised them, right? Faith can only come from God. Victory can only come from God. God can only help you to overcome all those things, but, you know, he's the only one. You know, a lot of different religions in the world. You know, I was witness to a guy not too long ago, and when we were out one place, and, you know, I was talking to him about Christianity, and I said, Christianity is the only faith that's not, it's not a religion. It's not a religion. Man makes religions. God didn't make a religion. And our faith, trusting in Christ as Savior, is what's going to help us to get to heaven. And it's not a man-made thing. It didn't come from man. You know, just because man felt sorry for himself, we created Christianity. No, that doesn't work that way. Just because we wanted to talk to God, you know, we created Christianity. No, God came down to us. We didn't go up to him. And that's what all these religions are doing. They're trying to go from point A to heaven somehow, to God, to appease a God, to try to win a God. The Japanese have so many gods. They have thousands of gods. And they're trying to satisfy all those gods that they might one day be satisfied after they die, and they'll reach a place of peace and happiness, but they have no hope. They have no hope. Muhammad said, I don't know the purpose of life. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? Jesus said that. Buddha said to his followers, seek the truth. But we know that Jesus is the truth because he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And we had Confucius. He said, I'm not the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. We need to believe in that. We need to believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus died for us on the cross at Calvary. The Bible says in Japanese, that verse says, Yesu wa kari ni waritel watashi wa michi de ari, shinji de ari, inochi nano desu. Watashi wo toshite chichi no mimoto ni kuru koto wa dekimasen. Same thing in Japanese as English. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the answer to our everyday need. And we need to trust him and rely on him. And he gives us that hope. He gives us that faith that only comes from God. There's no other place that it comes from. But God, we can be thankful for that, can't we? That God is the answer to our daily needs and our things that we have. These men had gone away from God. The object of their faith had changed. You know what? If the object of your faith changes from God to something else in your life, whether it's a material thing or some other way that you have decided or conjured up in your mind or some materialistic thing or money or something else, if your mind has changed that way, if your object of faith now is in what you can do and the abilities that you have, your object is in the wrong place. It needs to be in God. God is the only one. He's the object of our faith. And the children of Israel lost that object. They turned away from that. And now their object was turned from God to Egypt, back to Egypt, because they said, you know, we could have lived in Egypt and look at what we would have had. Yeah, a bunch of stripes on our back. They don't remember that. They didn't remember all the things that happened to them there, the bad things, but they remembered they had some food. And they remembered that they weren't going to probably die at that moment, but yet they would have died there. They needed to realize that true faith comes only through the true God. And Joshua and Caleb believed that, and they were trying to turn the people's hearts back to God. You know, it tells us here that the ten people there ruined the lives of many, many people for a long, long time. And some of them for eternity. They died in the wilderness during that 40 years of wandering. They died and perished. And so 10 people turned the lives and the hearts of the people away from God. The Bible says the Lord can delight in you. He can bring you to the land. The Lord's with us. The fourth thing is real faith gives us victory. Real faith gives us victory. I remember there's many things I could tell you about Japan and things that happened. But every time I do some kind of building project, it seems like we have some kind of big dilemma. And I don't know why. Maybe God's just testing my faith. Our first building that we bought in Okinawa, we had some problems with some things that went on in the building. At first, we couldn't get a loan. They said, no, we can't give you a loan. We actually started remodeling our building before we even had permission to buy the building because we wanted to get in it and have special meetings. I had them already planned. I had special meetings planned for like 2 months out. And we had to remodel the building. And so we started remodeling. We didn't even have the money to get the building. We were just trusting God was going to give us money. Every bank in Okinawa said, no, you can't. We can't loan it to you because you're a foreigner. And that's called, they call me Guy Jean. That's what they call me, Guy Jean. I get tired of hearing that word. But it means alien. And that's what they call you all the time. Sometimes they'll be nice and call you American. America Jean. That's what they call you. But it's always got the gene on the end, you know. And you get irritated with hearing it. But we went to all these places. They said, no, we can't give you any money. We were trying to buy a building that cost $330,000, a piece of property, just a small little building. You know, our property was really, really small at that point. In fact, it was 1,800 square feet. The land, I'm telling you, the land was 1,800 square feet. We had a three-story building sitting on it. He said, what, it's just 3 feet wide and 20 feet tall? Seemed like it sometimes. But we wanted to buy that building. And that piece of property, it was an old car shop. And we were going to turn it into an auditorium and a church building and everything. So we started remodeling. And, you know, once we started remodeling, one bank called us and said, I heard, a bank we hadn't gone to. They said, I heard you're looking for some money to borrow. And we said, yes. Well, he said, if you come over, I think we can help you out. So two of the men in my church then became co-signers on the loan. We got the loan for this building. We bought that building for $330,000. After we left that property and turned it over to Pastor Fugino, he sold the property for over $1 million. And then God blessed him with a big piece of property compared to what he had. He ended up with 10 times as much property as he had before, land-wise. And a building that is probably two or three times bigger than what he had. And the Lord just blessed. The fact is that when he was getting ready to build, he had to put in a requisition to change the zoning on the land. And they said that he would never get it. And then Finally, the city said, okay, you can do it. And so they put in the newspaper, miracle for Baptist Church. That's because they had faith to believe that God was going to do that. We started building our camp building, and I remember we didn't have enough money. I was sold everything I had. I sold my life insurance. I sold everything to try to get money to put up the camp building. I borrowed money from my mom and dad. Anybody else that would give me a loan? And I borrowed money. I loaned money. Minnesotans say borrowed. That's not really the right term, is it? I got a loan. Anyway, and so we had a lot of money out. And Terry and I really, all our support went into our church and everything else. We didn't have anything, really. We lived in the church building. So our support, the only thing we used our support for was food. And the rest of it we put in the offering in the church and then paid all the bills and, you know, paid for the building payment, all the electricity. And then anything that came in extra, we put up a camp building. We bought the property, put up the camp building. I remember that we were so short on money. We were so strapped that we were praying. Terry and I were praying. We needed $50,000 to clear up all our debts and finish the building that we had put up. $50,000. We didn't tell anybody. Nobody knew about it. And we prayed and asked God to supply our needs. And you know what? A church sent me a letter. That was back when letters came in instead of emails. Sent me a letter. I looked at the letter and they said, I hope that you recently got our love offering that we sent to your church, I mean for your church, and your, or to use in your ministry wherever you wanted. And he said, we sent in $50,000. I'm like, that was a typo. I'm sure that was a typo. Because I guess I didn't have the faith to believe it. It was really true, but we were praying for 50. That church sent us 50. I called the mission. I said, did somebody send in some money for me? And he said, let me check. I'll go in there and check. And I said, they said it was $50,000. He went in there and he looked at it. He said, you know what? There's $50,000 in your account. I was like, wow. It came from a church that told me they're going to drop me the next time I'm parole. So that's why I doubted it. I thought it was a practical joke. And that's why I doubted it. But you know what? That church sent that money, and they never dropped me either. They never dropped me. They still support me to this day. I'm thankful that God works in ways that we don't understand. You know, sometimes we see the victory comes from a different way, a different source. And God gives us the victory. He was going to give them victory. The Bible says about Caleb and Joshua, it says in chapter 14 and verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Because Caleb, his servant, what? Had another spirit within him. He had the Holy Spirit in him. The Holy Spirit was working in his life. He had God's power on his life. And so because of God's power, God gave him a promise. He said, I'm going to bring him and his family into the promised land. I'm going to take care of them because they believed that God, that was going to happen. We built the building that we're in presently. Some of the guys had come over and worked on that building. But when we were getting ready to build, we ran out of money. We didn't have any money. Our treasurer ran off with all our money. And I think I told you the story. But the only reason I'm telling you is because to tell you what happened. God took that time and we didn't have any money to pay our bills. We didn't have any money to start on a building project. We had no money at all. And I'm thinking, you know, we're not going to be able to do this. And I told Dan, my son, I said, you know, we can't build. He said, Dad, do you really believe that God wants us to build? And I said, yeah, I really believe that God wants us to build. And I said, I really trusted that the money was going to be there and everything. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story because it takes a long time. But you know what? God brought that money in by a different source. Some friends of ours sent us a big check of money. We had no money. Sent us enough money to get started on the building. Then sent us another big amount of money. Then the people in the church started giving money. You know, we had $7 when we started building. $7. Can you imagine? And we're going to build a building that's worth about $1,400,000, and we're going to pay $7. And we owe $3,000 on rent, and we owe utility bills, and we owe all this money, and we're saying, we're going to build. And Dan says, I think we should. God said we're going to, he said, you know, he's going to take care of us. I said, I was discouraged. You can imagine. We had a bunch of money in the bank, and our treasurer embezzled it all. And we had nothing left. But, you know, just after that, God sent that money in. And then he sent some more money in. Then people started giving in the church. And our building cost us about $600,000 to build because we did a lot of the building ourselves. But that building's worth about $1,400,000. And we don't owe anything on that building today. We don't owe a dime on the building. Because God took care of it all. And God can supply your needs. He can take care of you. I'm not talking just about financial needs, but every need that you have in your life. If you trust God and look to God, and God can take that faith. He can help you out. We need to have real faith. Shows us God's blessings. Even before it happens, real faith gives us what? Hope. We have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Real faith can only come from God. And real faith can give us the victory. I hope that you have victory in your life. We're looking to go back to Japan to see what God can do for the future and victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow forward in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to take the Word of God to heart. Help us to allow us to have our faith to grow and to do more for you. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Guide and direct now the rest of this day that we might glorify you. And give us wisdom and guidance. We thank you most of all for Jesus, that he came to die on the cross, that we could have eternal life. For the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we believe in that. And we thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you just help us now this day in all things. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen.